Good evening. We are here tonight to celebrate the life, the homegoing, the Lord of Bridget Beasley. Now, for some of you who might be here and don't know Bridget all that well, it may seem a little strange that we are going to be worshiping as enthusiastically as we are about to engage in worship. But it's been said, if you want to see the difference between believers and unbelievers, just visit their funerals. Bridget loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and she loved worship. She loved worshiping with the people of God. One of the things that she and I became more and more adept at over time was texting each other at all hours of the night. And I have 3 years of texts that I've been able to keep and paste and collect, and I'm going to be sharing some of those with you throughout the evening tonight. But on January 11th, 2009, this is what our dear sister texted me. "There is no place where I feel as close to the throne as in worship at Oak Mountain. My heart is engaged there like nowhere else. It is the joy of my heart to belong there." And then she added, "Worship is very different when you realize you're about to be in God's very presence." Bridget taught us a lot about the Lord, about life, about suffering. She taught this congregation a lot about worship. When in the midst of pain, struggle, at the end of a horrible week, there'd she be right there. And she would spontaneously stand, arms raised, eyes lifted, worshiping our Savior. And that's what we're going to do this evening. Bridget, for those of you who don't know, was 53 years young, born March 26, 1958. Graduate of Vestavia Hills High School and the University of Alabama. She's survived by her husband of 29 years, Rodney, two sons, Daniel, Bear, and Brad, two daughters, Camille and Candace. Bridget also loved two grandchildren, Riley and Mason. She's survived by her mother, Carolyn Payne, her grandmother, Ruth Franks, her brother, Rob Payne, and her sister, April Bowman. She also has a niece, Ashley, and a nephew, Corbin. We're going to celebrate the fact that we serve a big God. When God is big and man is small, worship occurs and faith is bred. And even though God is big and sovereign, and Bridget in another text says, one of my favorite verses is, "All of the days that were ordained for me were written in his book before one of them came to be." Even though we serve a God that is that big, we also serve a God that is able to grieve with us in our grief. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, "We don't grieve as others grieve who have no hope." Now, what I love about that is that we do, in fact, grieve. Christians do grieve. Death is unnatural. Death is not the way it's supposed to be. Death is the result of the fall, and therefore we should despise death. We should hate death. We should raise our fist in rebellion against death. And the Father agrees with us. And when Lazarus died, it was so unnatural that Jesus wept. And so Jesus is touched by our emotion, by our grief, by our sadness at the loss of such a dear sister. And so here are some of God's comforting words as our call to worship this evening. Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 43, 1 to 3. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And then Lamentations 3, 21 to 26. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of our God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you that you blessed each one of our lives by bringing our lives into contact with Bridget Beasley. She was a sister of faith. She was so authentic. God, she was so real. And Father, you say that precious in your sight are the deaths of your children. So you did not take Bridget home lightly. It serves only to further your glory, even though we may not see how right now. Spirit of the living God, you are the comforter. Fall upon this place. Grant comfort where it's desperately needed. Grant hope, faith, peace, courage. And now, Father, we ask for the strangest thing of all. We ask that in the midst of our loss, our grief, our sadness, that you could fill our hearts with praise. For you are God, and you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Spirit of God, strike up the band. Send the angels to join us in chorus and lead us as we praise. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
I'm really nervous, sorry. I never wanted to get to this day, the day that I would speak about my mom in past tense. But here we are, and I still don't know if I want this day to be here. Laura Story writes about how, in the midst of hard times, we know that this is not our home. I'm more aware of this now than ever, because in so many ways, Mom was my home. She was the constant peacemaker and common factor in almost every situation. She always made sure that everyone felt comfortable. And because of that, I feel lost, like my home is gone. Like I lost my best friend. I will miss her for a lifetime, and I don't think that there will be a day that I won't think of her. Some days more than others, like when I can't remember how to saute vegetables need to know when the next Kohl's sale is, or just want some encouragement, Mom is always just a text message away. People often tell me that I look just like my mom, and pictures of her in high school prove it. I used to get sick of hearing that, but now I consider it the greatest compliment I could ever receive. I'll never forget Mom in her last few days. Her body was failing miserably, but she was her same self. She was talking to her friend Kim, who is still fighting breast cancer. They planned a meeting to get together the following day, but Mom would not get off the phone until she said, "Well, I want to know how you are. Tell me how you're feeling. How are you doing?" Dad and I looked at each other and smiled, because that was my mom. Selfless, caring, kind, patient, and loving. Mom, from the bottom of my heart, I love you as big as the sky, and I will miss you until I see you again. I promise to make you proud.
He knows my name. In Revelation chapter 2, it says, "To the one who conquers, I will give him some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on that stone that no one knows except the one who receives it." Bridget has overcome by grace. She has been given that white stone. She's been given a new name. We don't know what it is, but she's hearing the Father whisper it to her constantly, now for all eternity. When I think of Bridget, I think of a woman of faith, which I think she'd probably laugh out loud if she heard me say that. Because I get the impression from time to time that she didn't think she had any faith at all. She would text me often about her struggles and her sadness and her longings. For instance, one day she said, "Bob, I'm just sick to death of problems today. I have so many dreams, they're not realized. When Job says, 'Though he slay me, yet will I trust him,' I recently read in My Utmost for His Highest that this is the most sublime utterance of faith in the Bible. I think I agree with that." Then another day she said, "Paul says in Philippians 1, 'To live is Christ, to die is gain.' Do you think Paul had any sadness facing death? I can't comprehend that fully. Would you want to die right now? Would that make you sad? I just hate knowing that I'm dying. It just stinks. Paul's writings just make me feel like a pathetic Christian with pitiful faith. I wish I didn't have so much unfinished business." And when Bridget wrote things like that, I actually get the feeling that she thinks she was betraying doubt, unbelief, little faith. But I'm here to tell you tonight that it is those very confessions that reveal a depth of faith that few of us have attained. Bridget wasn't afraid for her faith to ask the hard questions. If there's one thing Bridget couldn't stand, and if you did this as I sometimes did, she forgave you, but one of the things she could not stand was people that just wanted to slap a platitude on what she was going through. "Oh, it'll be okay." Well, no. Actually, no. It's not going to be okay. "Oh, everything will work out." Well, actually, no, it won't. Bridget had a depth of faith that was so bold before her Father as to say, "I hate cancer. Why is it even here? I hate what it does to people." Bridget's faith got brutally honest At times it got very angry. And at times it grieved. But God, by His grace, always led her back to Himself and fresh eyes. So she then would say, as she did in one text, God is always at work! Exclamation point. And I texted her back, it's hard to tell though sometimes, huh? And her response was, not when you're dying of tumors. God is so real to me. So real. He is so at work. And then she texted again, I hate cancer, but love Jesus. And I want you all to look to heaven. Heaven is all I know for real. She said, I have so many longings, but only Almighty God matters. I want all of my life to glorify Jesus. I'm learning I can't buy my own ways with Jesus. She said then in another text, the righteous shall live by faith. I think it's the hardest verse in the Bible. And then she said on another day, this is such a dark, dark season of life. And lots of Christians just aren't willing to engage in suffering. Bridget Beasley was a sister who suffered well. She wasn't afraid of asking the hard questions. She wasn't afraid of being honest with God. She wasn't afraid of being real. And when I think of Bridget's life and the legacy that she has left to us, I think of her faith. And I'm drawn to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. Bridget received her commendation from God. Not because she was so good or always had the right answers or always said the right things or always prayed the best prayers. Bridget was commended before God by her faith, her hope in the gospel promises. Bridget understood very well that she was a sinner, that she was hopeless before her Creator. And I think the closer she got to death, and the more she worshiped through the praise songs, the more they meant to her, the more the gospel meant to her, because she began to really understand she had no hope except for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. She had no hope except for God's good promises of grace. And her confidence began to swell and to soar as she sang those words, and the Spirit of God filled her with faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. If there was one thing that Bridget was disappointed in, it was that she felt she had been cheated some days. There were things she wanted to see. There were events that she was longing to occur. There were works of grace. There were evidences of the power of the Spirit that she was expecting. And the closer time came to her going home, she realized she wasn't going to see it in her lifetime. And that's exactly what we read in Hebrews 11. That is the common experience of the people of God. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Bridget was looking for a better place, a better country, whose architect and founder is God. And then the author goes on and says this, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection." Now, doesn't that sound like the Christian life? Doesn't that sound like the victorious life that we've been promised? Where is that life? We're not all promised that life, folks. Is your faith strong enough to face that fact? We're not promised that we're going to see it all happen the way we have it planned out before we die. We're not promised that everyone who gets sick is going to get healed. We're not promised that every teenage Christian girl is not going to get raped. We're not promised that every missionary is not going to die on the field. We're not promised that we're not going to go without a job for 4 years. You get the impression sometimes talking to Christians, come to Jesus and he'll fix you. Come to Jesus and all will be well. You're single and lonely, come to Jesus, he'll get you married. You're depressed, come to Jesus, he'll make you feel good. You're confused, come to Jesus, he'll straighten everything out. Your kids are a mess, come to Jesus, it'll all work out. Your marriage is in ruins, come to Jesus, your husband will straighten out. And I think what Bridget began to wrestle with at a very deep level was, come to Jesus and you'll get Jesus. And you'll never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. Bridget wanted to see all kinds of things happen before she died. But what she learned was all she needed was Jesus. And it's really interesting in this letter to the Hebrews in chapter 11, right after we read of all of the victories of faith, of all the miracles of faith, of Daniel in the lion's den and the lions not eating him, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace and the flames not touching them, and women receiving their dead back to life. After all of those amazing exploits of faith, Listen to how the tone changes. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, those who shut the mouths of lions and those who were sawn in two, those who quenched the flames of the fire and those that were tortured, all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. It's a broken world out there, people. It's a hurting world. It's a dying world. But it's a world in which we can live in such a way to bring hope to the despairing, to bring peace to the anxious, to bring love to the rejected. Bridget did those things. She loved life. She loved people. She adored her husband. She worshiped, if I can say that reverently, her children. But more than anything, Bridget had faith in God. And would we learn from her legacy that though some of us shut the mouths of lions and others of us are sawn in two, we would recognize that what we need most is Jesus. Jesus is all of our dreams, all of our longings, more than we could ever hope for or long for. In some final texts, Bridget said, "I have so many longings, but only Almighty God matters. I have so many longings, but only Almighty God matters." Can you say that tonight? Can you say, all of my longings, all of my dreams, all of my expectations for my kids, for my marriage, for my career, only God matters? I love the Lord of the Rings stories. And it talks about the great adventure of Frodo taking the ring to Mordor to try to destroy the power of evil. And it's gotten to the place where Frodo just can't go on anymore. He's done. And he goes to his best friend Sam and he says, "I can't do this." And Sam says, "Mr. Frodo, it's like in all the great stories, filled with darkness and danger they were. And the folk in those stories, they didn't want to know how the story ends, because how could it possibly have ended well? People were in those stories. Bridget was in that story. And she's gone, to be with the Father. But the Father's story goes on. And those of us who knew Bridget, loved Bridget, were touched by Bridget, we still have our part to play in that larger story. It's as if she passed the baton to us. And what's amazing in that Hebrews, that last verse, it says, since they did not receive what it was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. You get the idea that Bridget now in heaven still is not able to attain the goal. Because apart from us, she cannot yet be made perfect. You get this idea, okay, of, have you ever seen Special Olympics and they're running the race and initially all the parents are wanting the kids to win and somehow some special grace takes over. And one child just gets it. And they slow down all the other children. And they join hands and they cross the line together. That's what the author of the Hebrews is talking about. We don't become perfect until we all cross the finish line together. Even those who have gone before us, the author says, did not receive what is promised, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. And so Bridget's now part of the great cloud of witnesses. The Colosseum is filled. And we're running the race. And as we lock arms, join hands, and cross the tape together, not only do we finish, but Bridget receives what has been promised. A woman of faith. Calling out to us to live lives of faith in suffering, in plenty, in want, in pain, in prosperity, in whatever kind of circumstance we find ourselves. I want to be a little bit more like Bridget Beasley. I want to be real. I want to be honest. I want my faith to ask the hard questions. And I want to finish the way she did. I don't, like her, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to experience pain. But I want Jesus more. And that's how Bridget lived her life. She wanted Jesus more. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for our dear sister's life. We thank you for her faith. God, we pray for her family. God, we pray for Rodney. God, as he grieves the loss of his sweet bride, and God, thank you for their marriage. It was so incredible to watch. God, would you surround him with people who love him and care for him? God, for Camille, as she shared her heart with us, losing her best friend. Lord Jesus, would you be Camille's best friend? God, for Candace, might she know your love, your grace. We know she'll miss her mama, but help her to be so thankful for the years that they had. God, for Bear, we pray that you would continually pursue him. God, for Brad, thanks for his tender heart. He knows how much I love him. God, remind him that you love him infinitely more. The extended family, Father, we pray for them. God, we want to thank you for all the medical care that Bridget received. Joel Hamilton was unbelievable. So many other doctors and nurses, people in home care. Father, it's just amazing how you've used so many caregivers, so many lovers from this church and outside of this church to minister to this family. And Father, now the real work begins. The goodbyes have been spoken. The worship has occurred. And now, God, how do you move forward? Well, God, we move forward by faith, one step at a time. So grant the Beasley family faith. Grant us faith. And may we courageously take our part in your larger story so that we all finish well, hand in hand, arm in arm, to the glory of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. On behalf of the family, I want to thank all of you for coming this evening. They've had obviously a long day. Began earlier this morning with a graveside service for the family. And so we're going to dismiss the Beasleys, their extended family, so that they can sort of get away and be on their own, be by themselves. If you didn't have a chance to say hello, to wish them well, to pray with them, actually, the coming weeks are more important to do that anyway. When the dust settles a little bit more and the reality is upon them in fresh ways, that's when they could use a phone call, a drop by, a note. And so if you didn't have a chance to speak with them tonight, we apologize. But Ronnie, why don't you all go ahead and be dismissed. And we'll sing one final song, give them a time to be dismissed. Please, again, honor them by, not going to tackle anybody if you try to talk to them. But it has been a long, emotional day, and just try to honor them as we sing our last song.